Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news recorded on Wednesday the 23rd of August. I'm Margaret.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Joyce.
And your sound engineers this week are John and Martin. And we have got no new members this week, but I would like to say a big thank you to Joan Simmons for her kind donation. Thank you very much, Joan. And before Brian starts, I'd just like to let you know there is no talking news next week because it's August bank holiday. Now Brian will start us off with the news.
An elderly patient has finally left hospital after spending more than 500 days in a bed, despite being medically fit to be discharged. The woman spent a staggering 16 months at Russell's Hall Hospital in Dudley as her discharge was delayed by a disagreement about her future care. But the delay caused consternation with one senior counsellor in Dudley who claimed it was a waste of resources. Diane Wake, chief executive of the Dudley Group NHS Trust, which runs Russell's Hall, said the patient, who spent around 510 days on the wards, wanted to be cared for at home, but that couldn't be delivered by the NHS. She has instead been moved to a care home. Ms. Wake said that the hospital had worked to try and find a resolution to suit all parties, but that efforts had not been successful, and that it was crucial that resources are used responsibly. She said, a patient at Russell's Hall Hospital who has been medically fit for more than 500 days is being discharged to a nursing home where her ongoing care needs can be met. Clinicians from both the nursing home and hospital are confident that her care will be delivered safely in a nursing home environment. Unfortunately, her wish to be cared for at home with 24-hour nursing care cannot be met by the NHS currently. We have worked extremely hard with the patient, her family and Dudley Clinical Commissioning Group to find a resolution, but this has not been successful. It is very important that NHS resources are used responsibly and shared fairly. When a medically fit patient remains in hospital, it means that the bed is not available to treat other patients requiring acute care. The patient has been transferred with her cooperation. We've informed her close family members and explained the reasons for the discharge. Councillor Ian Kettle, who sits on the council's cabinet, said it was alarming that a patient could take up a bed for so long.
Donald Trump has been accused of attempting to legitimise and rationalise racism and white supremacy by a black country MP. In an impassioned statement, Ian Austin spoke out about the US president's comments that there was blame and very fine people on both sides after clashes between neo-Nazi protesters and anti-racism demonstrators in Charlottesville, Virginia, which left one woman dead and 19 injured. The Dudley North Labour MP said, as someone who grew up learning about the Holocaust from my father, who had fled to Britain as a 10-year-old Jewish refugee from Czechoslovakia, I never thought a day would come when the leader of the free world would legitimise and rationalise racism, anti-Semitism and white supremacy. I have always believed in a strong relationship between Britain and the US. That partnership guaranteed peace, stability and freedom in post-war Western Europe and helped communist dictatorships in Eastern Europe, like Poland, East Germany and Czechoslovakia, become democracies with freedom and human rights for their citizens. But that partnership was based on our mutual values of democracy, equality, freedom, fairness and tolerance. These are the values that make us the people and the country that we are, and it is vital that we stand up for them. Mr. Trump has faced widespread criticism after saying, you had a group on one side that was bad, and you had a group on the other side that was also very violent. No one wants to say that, but I'll say it right now. You had a group on the other side that came charging in without a permit, and they were very, very violent. Mr. Austin said, America is a country founded on values. That is why Americans and people all over the world look to the US president for moral clarity. And I'm afraid Mr. Trump has failed them miserably. There are not many sides to blame for the events in Charlottesville, only good and evil.
Determined house hunters from around London are snapping up black country homes for way above the asking price without even viewing the properties they wish to buy. Estate agent Bobby Singh, who runs Oldbury Base Love You Postcode, also said bids were being tabled within minutes of details of houses for sale being issued. He said the area was proving desirable for buyers because properties were much cheaper here than down south, while factors such as the quality of life and transport links in the Black Country were also enticing. But Mr. Singh, who set up Love Your Postcode in 2009, said the unusual practice of people bidding before viewing was growing as a result of fears of being outbid. In the past few months, the company has sold a house in Park Street, Rowley Regis, for $148,000, when it had been listed for £8,000 less to a Colchester-based buyer. Another house in St Edmunds Close, Dudley, was purchased for £128,000 by a client in London, when it had been put up for sale for £128,000. Mr Singh said, "This is quite remarkable. Two buyers putting in bids for two different houses, without even seeing them. This is how keen they are to own properties in this area. At first, I told them I couldn't accept their bids without viewings, as I was concerned they might change their minds later. But they were insistent and offered to pay the deposit straight away. They also started outbidding themselves when other offers haven't even been received, immediately contacting me to increase their bids. They're used to getting gazumped in places like London, and so to offer £8,000 to £10,000 above the asking price for a house here isn't a problem. Obviously, properties are cheaper here, but they also recognise this is a fabulous area to be in. There are excellent airports, public transport and motorway links, diverse communities, employment prospects and greenery not too far away. The lifestyle is much better up here." He added, "I feel sorry for local buyers, especially first-time ones. How do they compete with offers coming up to £10,000 above the asking price? But it's a seller's market in this situation." Mr. Singh has provided a few tips to help people get their desired homes. He said, "Sign up with a good local estate agent and develop a relationship with them. We have waiting lists for clients, so I would recommend buyers do that with their agents too. And people should ensure they have their mortgage promises in place before bidding."
A traveller's holding camp will be in place next year in Dudley, but hundreds of angry residents would rather see hotspots sealed off. The transit camp will provide a place for travellers to stay when they arrive in the borough rather than pitching up on unauthorised land. It's expected that the new site, to be ready by May next year, will cut the amount of illegal camps by 70%. There have been 11 unauthorised encampments so far this year, costing taxpayers £50,000 to clear. Around 200 residents who packed out a public meeting demanded answers and said they'd rather see measures put in place, such as moats or bollards, to stop travellers gaining access to at-risk sites. But this was played down by council chiefs, who said fortifying all 3,000 potential sites in Dudley would cost £1 million. Leader of Dudley Council, Councillor Patrick Harley, said, "This behaviour recently has been unacceptable. When we've had travellers in the past, they've come and cleaned up after themselves, but in the past couple of years, it's been appalling. This is why we've taken a tougher stance against them using our powers. The long-term solution to rid the borough of this problem is to introduce a transit site." Alan Lunt, Strategic Director at Dudley Council, said, "We do not have that money to secure all the sites. Security does not work either. It doesn't prevent incursions." Questions were also directed at West Midlands Police, with the force being accused of not doing enough to tackle travellers. This was dismissed by Superintendent Phil Dalby, the force's leader on unauthorised encampments, who said his team often had difficulty arresting travellers for crimes such as criminal damage, as it was difficult to narrow it down to the individual. A location has not yet been decided on. It comes as police evicted more than 30 caravans spread across three sites in Brierley Hill on July the 5th.
A travel firm offering Islamic pilgrimage packages and its Black Country director have been ordered to pay £40,000 after being convicted last year for misleading customers. Islam Freedom Limited, which is linked to Holy Makkah Tours Limited, which traded in part from Birmingham, have been successfully prosecuted following an investigation by trading standards officers in Birmingham, assisted by City of London Police as part of a national project to tackle Hajj and Umrah fraud in 2014. Islam Freedom Limited, which was based at 34 Green Street, Newham, was found guilty of five offences at Birmingham Crown Court on Thursday. The company was fined £10,000 and ordered to pay £5,000 in costs. Company director Shaheen Chowdhury, 44, of Hazel Beach Road, West Bromwich, was also found guilty of five offences. He was fined £10,000 and ordered to pay £5,000 in costs and was disqualified for 4 years from holding any directorship. He was also ordered to pay £13,000 within 3 months pursuant to a confiscation order made under the Proceeds of Crime Act. On the 19th of February 2014, a trading standards officer viewed the company's website, which still displayed an Atoll logo, and called to inquire about a Hajj tour. When asked if company was Atoll bonded, the officer was advised that Islam Freedom Limited was Atoll bonded. Islam Freedom Limited's Atoll licence, which is a legal requirement for travel firms that are selling package holidays, had expired on the 31st of March 2013. Councillor Barbara Dring, chair of the Birmingham City Council's Licensing and Public Protection Committee, said, "This case highlights the need for people booking any holiday to be aware that internet-based travel firms have to adhere to the same codes of practice as those based on the high street. It is also a great example of how working closely with our local authority partners has helped us bring a successful prosecution. Trading Standards is here to protect Hajj pilgrims from being ripped off by unscrupulous travel providers. We know it's important to take action to protect pilgrims and to ensure that there is a level playing field for all businesses." Holy Makkah Tours Limited and its director, Mohammed Soba Ibn Nozir, admitted seven offences under the legislation and were ordered to pay a total of £71,417 at Birmingham Crown Court last month.
Police investigating the alleged kidnapping of a British model in Italy have arrested the brother of the chief suspect in the West Midlands. Chloe Ayling is believed to have been snatched by a group calling itself Black Death after being lured to a fake modelling shoot in Milan last month. Chief suspect Lucas Powell Herber has said he did not knowingly take part in any crime, and the National Crime Agency, NCA, said it had arrested his brother, Michael Conrad Herber. The 36-year-old was detained at an address in Tividale Oldbury and appeared at Westminster Magistrate Court on Thursday, the 18th of August. Michael Conrad Herber was apprehended on a European arrest warrant issued by the Italian authorities, the NCA said. Italian police have said Miss Ailing was drugged and transported in a bag to an isolated village near Turin, where she was held for 6 days as her captors tried to auction her online. The 20-year-old said she was injected with ketamine after being lured to a fake modelling shoot, before being bundled into the boot of a car and told she was going to be sold as a sex slave. Miss Ailing, from Coolston, South London, was eventually taken to the British consulate in Milan after the horrific ordeal, but could not return home to London for almost 3 weeks. Lucas Powell Herber has said his involvement stems from wanting to raise money to treat his leukemia and that he was hired by a group of Romanians to rent properties around Europe to store garments they were selling, according to reports. He's also said to have told the investigators he posed as a photographer and met Miss Ailing. He said he was paid £500,000. Found out Romanians intended to kidnap her and backed out of the plan. The NCA said in a statement, officers from the West Midlands Police and MSU, East Midlands Special Operations Unit, this morning arrested the brother of Lucas Powell Herber in connection with the kidnapping of Chloe Ailing. Michael Conrad Herber, 36, was apprehended at the address in the Tividil area of Birmingham on a European arrest warrant issued by the Italian authorities. He appeared at Westminster Magistrates Court on August the 17th. The National Crime Agency and MSU are providing specialist support to the Italian police as part of this ongoing investigation.
The grave of a Victoria Cross hero at a Black Country churchyard has been desecrated by vandals. Yobs targeted the grave of Zulu war veteran, Colonel Sergeant Anthony Clark Booth, who famously covered the retreat of fellow soldiers for 3 miles as they came under attack from hordes of Zulu warriors in 1879. Gary Stapleton, Chief Executive Officer of the Victoria Cross Trust, said it was only the second time he knew of a Victoria Cross recipient's grave being desecrated in the country in recent times. The Trust is now seeking to repair and restore the grave at St Michael's Church in Bell Street South, Brierley Hill. Sergeant Booth, who lived in William Street, Brierley Hill, served in the 80th Regiment of Foot, later becoming the South Staffordshire Regiment. The Trust was alerted to the damage on Tuesday, and Mr Stapleton yesterday visited the grave to assess the damage. He said, "It's very rare to see vandalism of a Victoria Cross grave. I have only known of one other which has been desecrated by vandals, and that was William Coltman's in Burton, Staffordshire. Two or three people have deliberately pushed this over. This is a man of national importance who received the highest award you can get in this country." The damage was discovered by Zulu war historian Jonathan Graham, who had visited the grave to take photographs. The headstone has come away from the curbstones at its base, and there is damage to some lettering and scratches. Experts from the Trust are drawing up plans to wash the headstone and return it to its position using modern techniques to prevent it happening again. The Reverend David Hoskin, rector at Brierley Hill, said, "Brierley Hill is proud of having a Victoria Cross recipient among their number. This is sad and it will be great to have it renewed." The matter has not yet been reported to police.
Dudley Council chiefs say that they plan to make free parking a permanent offer for the borough, following a successful trial run. Motorists have been parking for free for 2 hours on council car parks in Dudley, Brierley Hill, Halesowen and Sedgley since a pilot scheme launched in April. Following its success, council bosses have now promised to offer 1 hour's free parking on all council-owned car parks from October the 1st, including those in Stourbridge and King Swinford. Analysis has shown vehicle numbers using the car parks has risen in the areas where the two-hour free parking has been trialled, although footfall has not increased significantly. The two-hour trial will continue to be analysed until it comes to an end on September the 30th. But council bosses say they intend to keep free parking as a permanent offer, and in the first instance, they will be rolling out 1 hour of free parking as part of a new trial across the whole borough from October. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Dudley's Cabinet Member for Environmental Services, said, "We have listened to local people and anecdotally they have told us that the towns are busier than ever. This is great news for business and something that we want to build on, so we are now working up the finances to ensure that we can make free parking a permanent offer." Although the data does not reflect a huge upturn in the number of people walking through the town, we made a firm commitment to do everything we can to listen to local traders and work in their best interests, which is why we are making it clear that free parking will be in place after the trial. We are now going to adapt the trial to 1 hour and include all borough car parks so we can analyse this impact before introducing the best option for the borough. Councillor Patrick Harley, Dudley Council's leader, said, "Offering free parking in our towns was a long-term promise and I have stood by that, and we fully intend to retain free parking after this trial. We have to make sure that we listen to local people who visit and work in our town centres in order to help them thrive. Hopefully, this hour of free parking on all council pay and display car parks, including those in Starbridge and King Swinford, will be welcomed by all traders and shoppers to boost our important local town centres. People who want to take advantage of the 1 hour trial need to print and display a free parking ticket from the machines that are already in place. Normal charges will be in place for people parking for longer than 1 hour, and return is prohibited within 3 hours of leaving. Additional signs publicising the 1 hour free parking will be displayed following its introduction. For information on current parking tariffs for Dudley Council car parks, check out www.dudley.gov.uk/resident/parking roads.
A prison facing an increased threat of drones flying in mobile phones and drugs is bringing in military-grade radar to combat the problem. A report by the Independent Monitoring Board, IMB, has stated the problem remains as an ongoing issue at HMP Oakwood in Featherston. However, despite the growing threat, the IMB declared G4S, which runs the prison, were managing the problem well. The jail is bringing in military-grade radar in a bid to combat the threat on a six-month trial. The watchdog reported that in October last year, a drone was used to fly in a large quantity of mamba, also known as spice. Months after the same body had flagged the cannabis-like drug, formerly known as legal highs, as a priority concern. The board's 2016-2017 annual review said, "The increase has ongoing threat of legal items, such as drugs and mobile phones, entering the prison using drones. Throwovers and passes during visits is managed very well, with a good detection rate," it adds. "There is an ongoing issue in relation to the use of drones around the prison, but the IMB are of the view that the Security Department, together with the police and two other HMP establishments adjacent to Oakwood, Featherstone and Brinsford, are proactive in dealing with this issue as far as they are able. In May 2016, during the review period, six inmates were taken to hospital, suffering from the ill effects of legal highs brought in by a drone. G4S confirmed that they were to trial a radar system developed by a defence company to detect small unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, from 1 kilometre away. The IMB said there was a high level of activity around the bringing of drugs into prison, but they added every effort was made to tackle the issue. Director of HM Prison Oakwood, John McLaughlin, said, "While the report sets out the challenges we have faced over the past year, I am encouraged the monitors find that our approach to engaging with prisoners and helping them to lead projects will improve their prospects on release has been successful. Like prisons across the country, we have seen an increase in criminal targeting the establishment with drugs and mobile phones. We have good links with Staffordshire Police and routinely refer illegal activity to them in order to help us tackle those who undermine the safety of our regime."
Plans to redevelop derelict ex-council offices to create apartments and a cafe have been given the go-ahead. Despite more than 1,000 people opposing the scheme, the Grade 2 listed buildings in Great Cornbow and Hagley Street in Hales Owen will be transformed into 24 apartments, a cafe and orangery under the proposals. The plans will also see the landmark James Hobbs hardware shop refurbished. 21 letters of objection had been sent to Dudley Council, as well as 2 petitions with a total of 1,060 signatures. However, members of the authority's Development Control Committee said that a site visit had proved to them that the decision to approve the plan was the right one to make. Councillor Andrea Goddard, chair of the committee, said, "I did have concerns about the plans, particularly because of the amount of objections registered. However, when I visited the site, my thoughts changed considerably. I didn't want us to lose a valuable listed building, however. I noticed that it was really close to the point of disrepair. I thought that was sad to see when the buildings hold so much history. I believe these plans will preserve the site and bring something new to the area, so I am all for it." The main issues raised were that there were already enough cafes and food outlets. However, committee members were recommended to approve the plans, as officers said they would provide a long-term sustainable future to a number of listed buildings. Councillor Paul Bradley echoed the chair's comments after also attending the site visit, saying, "I had my reservations, but to be honest, when I got to the site, the situation with the deterioration of the site was explained to me, and I could see for myself that something needed to be done. I now think this is a good scheme. The buildings are in need of extensive repair, and its historical value means we should take advantage of this opportunity to see it brought back to life." All votes cast at the meeting last week were in favour of the scheme.
Wordsley's Red House glass cone is set to sparkle when it hosts the world premiere of a groundbreaking audio-visual event as part of the International Festival of Glass. Andy Garby's Vitrescence, Becoming Glass, will take place at the historic venue on Saturday, August the 26th. And will celebrate and explore the nature of glass by using glass instruments which are designed to react with the unique acoustics of the 100-foot-high 18th century glass cone chimney. Multi-award-winning sound artist, singer and composer Andy said, "There will be 18 singers and 18 brass players with glass instruments made live in situ by a team of top glass glassblowers plus a 7-to-1 surround sound system." And he added, "This piece has been created to encourage people to listen to spaces, Therefore, there is no stage. Musicians and singers come to the audience. The Cone's resident glass artist, Charlotte Hughes Martin, has helped to develop glass instruments for the piece. Briley Hill-based engineer Steve Snaith has also been collaborating with Andy to create hybrid post horns, which incorporate a modified glass-blowing iron with a glass trumpet bell. Councillor Ian Kettle, Dudley's Cabinet Minister for Planning and Economic Development, said, "The audience will be immersed in an experience like no other with instrumental music, live action glasswork, choral voice and sounds from the glass industry all merged together to make something groundbreaking for the festival. This is a true celebration of the glass industry." The performance starts at 8:30 p.m. and tickets cost £10 each, including a glass of wine, and can be booked by calling the Cone on 01384 812 750. Check out www.rmlt.org.uk/International Festival of Glass for more information about events taking place during the International Festival of Glass, which is running from the 25th of August to the 28th of August at venues across the Stourbridge Glass Quarter.
And with that final item from Joyce, we'll make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Margaret.
Goodbye from Brian.
And goodbye from Joyce.
And don't forget, there is no news next week because we are on a week holiday.